So some just generally, let's talk about what some of the common badges of fraud are these days. Some of those are, you know, this comes from the IRS manual, the understating of income, obviously, maintaining inadequate books and records, giving implausible or inconsistent explanations of behavior. Generally, if you have a client like my clients, generally, I don't let them talk to the IRS because they have a tendency to say the wrong thing. They have this incredible belief that they can convince, many of them believe they can convince anybody of anything. And as I try to tell them time and time again, the person at the IRS already knows the answer to the question that you're going to ask. They're just seeing how you're going to answer it and whether you're going to lie to them or not. So keeping them away from the examiner or anybody at the IRS is probably a good idea. Concealing income or assets, you know, it's understating income, those kinds of things. Failing to cooperate, engaging in illegal activities, providing incomplete or misleading information to one's tax return preparer. You know, we've seen a lot of that. Giving testimony that lacks credibility, that's a judgment call. Giving false documents. I've seen clients who like to give, who we have found out, we got involved later, found out they gave made-up documents, backdated documents. They gave false financials. You can see where the whiteout is, those kinds of things. If you remember the case of that, and I don't know what the status is on this case of the family out of the Cressley family, I believe they're called, out of Georgia. They did a reality show and were indicted, at least state and federally, for a lot of things, including the fact that they misled the examiners. They misled the collection officers by giving them false information. The scary thing about that was, that case was, not only were they indicted, but their representative was also indicted. So that gets back to the idea, make sure that while you can trust your clients, it's the old Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. The story you get from your clients may sound good, but make sure it's correct. Don't just throw out the information to the IRS. Again, failing to file tax returns and dealing with cash. I always find that dealing with cash kind of interesting. It turns out that cash apparently is bad right now. Having cash, people who work dealing cash, we'll talk about cryptocurrencies in a few minutes here, but the cash is kind of the bad thing now that it used to be. I know you're all going to be shocked to hear that there are some taxpayers who don't report all the cash that they receive. I mean, I know you're shocked to hear that. One of my favorite clients of all time was a client who owned a business and they had two cash registers, one of which they used for credit cards and the other which they used for cash. And I'll let you decide which one got reported to the IRS. But the bad part for them was, and it's the one thing that one of the things that you should never do if you're going to try to steal from the IRS, which is they told one of their employees how they were doing this because this person was a manager. They got in a dispute with this manager and then fired the manager. And then the manager turned around and went to the IRS on them. So it's always important. First of all, don't tell anybody you're going to scam the IRS or going to steal money from the IRS. But if you're going to, don't fire that person at that point. The second thing is don't keep a second set of books. The clients do that all the time because they want to know actually what the real number is. And so they can compare it to what they're stealing from the IRS. And that's always a bad thing because it puts us all in a difficult situation where we know there's two sets of books. What books do you turn over to the IRS at that point? And you and I are going to say, well, we're turning over the real books. We're not turning over the false books because we don't want to create a problem for ourselves. So let's talk about kind of the areas that the IRS has been emphasizing over the last couple of years and the things we have seen, and you're probably seeing too. One area is high net, and we're going to talk about each of these. One of those is high wealth non-filers. It's amazing the number of non-filers out there that make a lot of money. High wealth non-filers, that's anybody in excess of $100,000. Syndicated conservation easements, lots of information about lots of cases. Undisclosed offshore activities, that's been going on since 2009, but there's been a change there over the last couple of years. Virtual currency. Virtual currency is a big issue with the IRS right now. We'll talk about that and how they're trying to capture that. Michael Desmond talked about pandemic-related fraud. They're putting a lot into that area right now, related to loans and other information that's going on. Employment taxes, always a big issue from the IRS from a fraud standpoint. People not paying, employers not paying their employment taxes, those kinds of things. Other tax savings transactions, those are those transactions that your brother Joe comes and tells you about and says, you know, I know a guy who can do this and I can save you a lot of money. Those transactions are out there. It doesn't take much to go out there and find those. There are lots of people out there touting those transactions right now, lots of different types of transactions. The last cash-heavy businesses like we talked about. Oh, and there is one other that I didn't add just because I saw it just last week because it was announced, I believe, by Damon Rowe, is they are now have what's called Operation Liquidation at the IRS. And this is they're going to be looking at bankruptcy filings to see, or the IRS is a creditor in a bankruptcy, to see if taxpayers are either hiding assets or that taxpayers are parking assets with third parties or they're hiding assets or those kinds of things to try to keep them away from other creditors, including the IRS. And that appears to be, and as Mr. Rowe said during his discussion of this, he said, look, it's pretty easy because we basically go into courts where he found that there's fraud because the bankruptcy the debtor has filed false financials. It's easy for us to follow up on that and see where they're going next. So that's an area of focus for them also. Let's talk a little bit about these high wealth non-filers. Like I said, these are people who have income in excess of $100,000 and do not file tax returns with the IRS. I represented lots of people over the years who have not filed tax returns with the IRS. My longest was a guy who hadn't filed in 40 years. He only came forward because he wasn't making any money, but all of a sudden he had a big contractor. He's about to make a bunch of money, and he decided he needed to come forward. And so we helped him get his tax returns back in order. He missed 40 years, and that's okay. We got him taken care of. But I think, you know, the IRS announced in February of this year that they were going to be doing this high wealth non-filer program. In some ways, I think that was an anticipation of what happened in May of this year with the TIGDA, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration.